Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Edition. Hooray. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined by Kun Sean. We're pretty delighted that the Yankees are actually playing like a good baseball team again.
Hey. I'm not delighted. I am not, neither happy nor sad. I'm perfectly content. You might say I'm 500.
Yes, you are up the same amount as you are down.
Exactly. It's been a good week. It's been a fun times in Yankee land, so it's good to see the team actually be watchable rather than just having to debate whether or not want to keep watching them or do something else with my life every night. So that's fun.
Absolutely. The split with Baltimore at home was not exactly great, but thankfully the team remembered that they are a good baseball team and took care of business against the Tigers and swept them three in a row. So that was delightful to see.
Yeah, like I'm still hesitant to be like, oh my God, the Yankees are out of it. They're back. Because again, we're talking about the Tigers who are
going to be bad.
They're not good at the baseball right now. And you saw like even against Baltimore, like it wasn't just the first game, it was also the last game. So they had two great wins in the middle that were just sandwiched by like two games where I was like, what the hell is going on? But overall, like not just obviously the wins and the losses, but just overall, the team does seem to be clicking a lot better. So that's good at least.
Yeah. And we're still annoyed at Matt Harvey and the Yankees offense for ruining our podcast last week. But hey, at least they put it back together. And it really seems like the very slight changes that they've made, which is like giving Giancarlo Stanton more time in the two hole and Kyle Higashioka getting a little bit more playing time, which, by the way, were both things we had talked about on last week's podcast. So we're not saying that we're the reason for the Yankee success, but we may be the reason for the Yankee success.
Brian Cashman, continue listening to our podcast. Thank you very much.
Brian Cashman, we want to know who your meat tray of the week is.
We should bring him in for one.
Yeah, I got a DM from him. Actually, it says his meat tray of the week is Lon Trost, which is a good choice.
See, like, I don't think he'd choose that. He'd just randomly go off on Sonny Gray again, I feel like.
That's true. Man, he just... I don't know
what Sonny Gray did to Cashman, but he was not happy.
Yeah. Well, this is not the Red Reporter podcast, so no need to discuss Sonny Gray.
We're done talking about all these colors, both red and gray.
Got him.
Anyway, back to the Yankees.
Yeah, so anyway, but Giancarlo Stanton in the two-hole is hitting .436 with an 1186 OPS since being installed there by Aaron Boone. So they've really found a good rhythm in the lineup now with Stanton at two and then Judge at three, and Judge has been on fire lately too.
Yeah, and like I talked a little bit about it last week too. Obviously, I gave my honorable mention for Yankee of the Week to whoever's decision it was ultimately to start batting Stanton second. But I think it just makes a little bit more sense, like not to kind of overvalue like batting order or anything like that too much. But I do think there's a little bit of credit to give to be given here, especially with like Stanton and having Judge protect him behind him. I think before it seemed like Boone was way too concerned about having like some sort of lefty between the two or just somebody kind of splitting them up so they're not back to back. So like later in the game when the opposing manager is calling for a reliever, he's going to have to think about it. But I mean, the Yankees didn't really have that great lefty bat to like make it worth it to put in between them. And I felt like that affected both of them in different ways. So, but just having them back to back hitting behind each other or in front of each other, whatever, I think it just works. There's no easy out here, right? Because if you let one on the base right after him is Judge, it's just like, oh, crap. So now Stanton's probably seeing a little bit more strikes, and he's just destroying baseballs, which is what he's good at.
Yeah, trying to find a lefty to slot between them is something that if it works out, then great, but it's not something that really needs to be pursued. And when the Yankees were trying to get Aaron Hicks bat, go on switch hitter so he could bat lefty in some of those situations, he wasn't really going well. And when they were throwing like Rougned Odor up near the top of the lineup too, and I guess they are still batting Odor cleanup every now and then, but that's a choice. But they don't really need to throw in a lefty between them because they're just two very dangerous hitters who are going to intimidate these pitchers regardless. So I don't think you need to find your lineup balance by throwing in a lefty. Unless Mike Ford goes 2019 Super Saiyan mode again for like a stretch.
Right. Like, yeah, it'd be one thing if they had that or they had like another lefty like a Bryce Harper or somebody in between there. Then, okay, fine. I get it. Here just doesn't make sense. And it's not like Judge or Stanton are like overwhelmingly weakened by the opposing hitter, like, you know, right-handed pitchers or anything like that, where you need to kind of break them up. They can hit both. They can just crush baseballs. Just let them do it.
Exactly.
And I feel like, and the funny thing about Rougned Odor, I feel like every time Aaron Boone finally gives up on having him bat cleanup, he'll like be like 7th, 8th, and then he'll hit like a dinger out of nowhere because he's just Rougned Odor apparently and just randomly hits dingers. Boone's like, ah, see, I was smart. I should have him cleaning up.
Yeah, and then he'll clean up again, and then he'll not do much again.
Until he inevitably moves him back out. It's just a vicious cycle.
This is the Rougned Odor existence, which I guess is better than the Jay Bruce existence, but it's an experience.
Has been better, yes. Better does not mean good, yes. But better, yes.
Yeah, but back to Judge and Stanton, something we should talk about is that there are some fan quibbles about how the Yankees are using them over the course of their hot streaks, because they've still been giving them days off here and there. Aaron Judge sat for a couple days with some soreness. After doing that a couple weeks ago, he had sat for 2 days then too. And then in the past series against the Tigers, Stan was off on Saturday. And a lot of people were like, oh, he's a DH. Why does he need to take a day off? Or why does Judge need to be sitting? But this is just about how the Yankees are trying to keep them healthy throughout the season. They are so essential to the team's production in 2021. And it's worth trying this load management style out, for lack of a better term, to see if maybe this will keep them on the field.
Yeah, and like I kind of get a little bit of the frustration just because like the team's starting to finally, you know, show signs of life, and it's like, oh, now you're going to give them a day off, get them out of their rhythm of like, you know, whatever theory is going on, or just like, hey, we're still working our way back to 500, which up until yesterday they were. So I get like why, you know, this may be like an overly sensitive, for lack of a better term, matter, but the one thing I'm going to say is that I feel like this team is going to go as far as Judge or Stanton carry them, right? So right. No matter what, they're the two most important bats in the lineup because they're the two that can carry this the whole offense with them. You know, if everyone else is struggling, if those two are going, the Yankees should be fine for the most part. But at the same time, this lineup is so deep, so talented that you don't need them, or you don't need to try and force them to play 160 games when, you know, the most important games are still coming in October. Yeah, again, they're still working their way back to 500. They're still not quite out of the woods. We're still not comfortable exactly about how they're playing, but you got to weigh the risks and the pros and the cons here. And I think it's fine to like let them sit for a game or whatever, especially because, like, to your point, it's just keeping them healthy, making sure they're going to last for the whole year rather than, oh crap, now we lost Judge for 3 months again.
Right. And theoretically your offense should be good enough to back up when one of them has to take a seat. Because remember, this is a lineup that has, you know, DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier, Gio Urshela, a lot of good hitters in here who can help you out and patch up these holes. So they should be able to cover for them. Oh, and Kyle Higashioka, I guess, who is apparently Mike Piazza. I don't know.
He is this year's Silver Slugger winner. I'm calling it now. Bold. It's bold of me. I was perfectly fine predicting 75 home runs for Stanton and Judge. I was not comfortable calling Silver Slugger for Higgy.
Actually, they're going to rename the award the Higgy Slugger. So that makes sense, right?
Oh, I was going to say the Silver Higgy.
They're going to rename the Silver Slugger just the Higgies, like the Oscars.
The Higgs.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, exactly. Like, as important as Judge and Stanton are to this team and whatever, but the team is too deep and too talented to just miss their loss for like a day here or there. Especially, again, it was against the Orioles and the Tigers. Like, you know, not for nothing, the Yankees should be beating them. Fortunately, they did beat the Tigers. The Orioles, they kind of did their job, so it's fine.
Yeah, there will be a bigger test this upcoming week. They're going to face the Astros at home for three games, and they should at least take two out of three in that one because they were playing at home, and it would be good to make a statement against, you know, an actual expected good team rather than the Tigers and the Orioles.
Yay! I'm not interested at all in seeing how many times we're going to have to hear about the stupid trash can scandal or whatever. I just hope that the Yankees, like, they're at home this week, right? They're not in Houston.
Yeah, they're at home because there will be trash cans at Yankee Stadium for sure.
I'm just hoping that nobody's throwing trash onto the field. I'm calling you guys out now, preemptively. Do not do this.
Why did they throw trash on the field? That'll already be out up the middle with Correa and Altuve. Hey. But seriously, folks. But we'll stay in last week for now, though, because we got to talk about the pitching a little bit, too, because the pitching has all of a sudden been extremely good.
Yeah, the pitching's been great. And then we're not just talking about Gerrit Cole and the random group of relievers who just happened to be fantastic. Even the starting pitching's been good, which is fun.
Yeah, they ended April with a top ERA, ERA plus, WHIP, and FIP in the American League. So that's some pretty good job by Cole, Kluber, Taillon, Montgomery and company. So great work going on there, which is an area that was viewed as a weakness going into the season. And obviously we're 1 month in, as you said, the Yankees have played a lot of weak opponents so far. So maybe there will be more of a difference standing out as the season rolls on against tougher opponents. But for now, the pitching is doing its job. So that's great to see.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to give a special shout out to Taillon, who I did give my Mitre, or him and his struggles versus the fourth inning, I gave my Mitre of the week to last week. And on Saturday's game against the Tigers, he did make it through five innings, so that's great, but the only run he allowed was in the fourth. So he's still working his way in fighting through that fourth inning, but, you know, I'll take it if he's completing five innings and only allowing a run. Maybe he just really doesn't like that fourth inning. I don't know what's going on, but kudos to him for kind of coming back out there.
Yeah, and even more kudos to Corey Kluber, who has looked very much like his old self in his last couple starts. He pitched 6 2/3 innings against the Orioles on the 27th, which is already an achievement because he had yet to pitch into the fifth through his first four starts. And this one, he only allowed one run on six hits. And then against the Tigers on Sunday, he was even better. He went 8 innings, which is something that even Cole hasn't done this year, granted mostly because they haven't really needed to push him that far, but this is just an instance where Kluber was in complete control and Boone got him through 8 innings, shutout ball, 2 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts on only 103 pitches. So that is being efficient.
Exactly. And like, I think what really surprised me is that he even came back out for the eighth. I was like a little shocked, not necessarily like I'm saying it was a bad move by Boone. It was like obviously a great move. And I wasn't even second guessing it at the time. I was just more like, oh shit, it's the eighth inning and Corey Kluber's coming out. What the hell? What year is this?
Yeah, and it's a 2-0 game too. It's still very close.
I had myself like a Robin Williams Jumanji moment where I was like, what year is this? But no, it's very, very exciting to see. Obviously, it's a sign of, like, you know, him building up his arm strength, getting his confidence back up. Afterwards, he still looked like a robot. And it was just like, beep, boop. Yes, I throw baseball. Bye.
He smiled in the dugout, though. Did you see it?
I did not. Did he?
Oh, yeah. It shook me for a second. I was like, ugh.
I remember reading that story about how Clint Frazier made DJ LeMahieu smile. And I was like, oh, wow. Look at these Yankees. All these robotic Yankees are just smiling these days.
Yeah, it turns
out
that's
a sign of good things.
Turns out that when you're winning games, it helps.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Rougned Odor and Kyle Higashioka for turning things around.
Clearly, that's what this team is missing, right?
They've done it.
Yes. But Kluber has looked great. Gerrit Cole has just been on another planet for most of the season. Pretty much numbers right up there with DeGrom. It's kind of wild how good he's been.
Yeah, but can Cole hit like DeGrom?
That's true. I don't know if Cole will win a Silver Slugger this year. Or, you know, I don't know if Cole will win a Higgy this year.
Yes, there you go.
But Cole struck out 62 batters so far in 37 2/3 innings, which is reliever rates, really. And he's also only walked 3 batters.
I think that's what's most absurd to me. Like, not that I expected him to have like high walks or anything like that, but just the fact that 3 batters, it's just like the guy keeps throwing out, having games where he has 10 strikeouts, no walks. And he's just like, yeah, I'm Gerrit Cole. This is what I do.
Yeah.
And well, it's good to see, you know, somebody who got $324 million living up to that and be like, oh yeah, that's why you have that much money.
Yeah, the man is in control. I think I saw his FIP was down to 0.46, which doesn't sound right, but that's a real stat.
You know, I was like thinking about this the other day, though. It'd be funny if, like, now that Kyle Higashioka is getting more playing time, if Cole starts throwing to Gary now because Gary's just kind of sitting around and Cole does love his quote unquote backup catcher.
I think
Yankee Universe would explode. I personally find it hilarious, but
dogs living with cats. Oh man, but yeah, anytime that Cole takes him out, it's just like, what are we gonna see today? And it's just funny seeing him react whenever, anytime like anyone gets even a bloop hit, he's like, ugh, I failed the world.
Like, I cannot allow this to continue. Let me just mow down the next 35 batters. You only need 27 outs in a game. I'm going to mow down 35 of them. All right. Okay, you do you, Garrett.
Yes. So these are some great things that we've seen so far. And the bullpen has done a pretty good job, too. And I guess it is worth mentioning, too, that the Yankees did make some minor moves to the bullpen in the past week. As I alluded at the very beginning of the last episode, which we didn't get to talk about, but I had to briefly mention, the Yankees traded Mike Tauchman to San Francisco for lefty Wandy Peralta.
The Wandy Peralta era is among us.
Yes. Yeah, and this is a move that some people are still questioning. And I mean, we might get this for a while, but the point was that Tauchman was barely getting any playing time and thought they could see something in Peralta, then hey, might as well help out the bullpen. Especially since the other notable move is that Darren O'Day had to go on the injured list with some rotator cuff problems. So this is definitely an instance where they're going to be looking to Peralta and Michael King, who also came up as part of that transaction, to help fill in the holes. So definitely makes some sense to add a little bit more relief help in there rather than a fifth outfielder who you weren't using anyway.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. I mean, I think we even talked about it last week where I think I mentioned either having King or Garcia kind of stay up more than just kind of riding the Scranton shuttle just because of how much they're relying on their bullpen because the starters are not going deep into games, obviously the last week notwithstanding. But it made sense to kind of just help an area that was a strength before it becomes a weakness because you don't want to just over-rely and burn out your bullpen by mid-May. So getting another arm in there for Mike Tauchman, who, like you said, is just barely playing, he's fifth outfielder, it's fine. With Tauchman, you know, kind of in San Francisco, he'll have his opportunity to actually get some substantial at-bats and a substantial playing time. The Yankees have a real shortstop backup in Tyler Wade, even though it's Tyler Wade, but they have a real backup on the team just because so Gio Urshela isn't just kind of stuck there in case Glaber needs some time off or gets hurt or anything like that. And also, who cares? It's Mike Tauchman. Nothing bad against the guy, but who cares?
I like the guy personally, but he wasn't getting much time. I hope he does well in San Francisco. He homered the other day. Good for him. That was his first homer since 2019. Remember, he did not homer at all last year, which is part of the problem. And I do understand the quibbles of some people who are like, well, they should have just given the job to Tauchman and not re-signed Brett Gardner. But unfortunately, that's all in hindsight now. So you only are dealing with what the team that you have right now. And honestly, you know, gun to my head, I'd probably still rather have Gardner over Tauchman. I just don't know if Tauchman's going to actually keep it up, but we'll see. Good for him if he does. And if not, hey, it's fine. The Yankees outfield is a good position for them anyway.
Yeah, and like obviously bigger issues or bigger things to worry about than who the fourth outfielder is. Obviously, you know, you're worrying about them or thinking about whoever that position is because there have been people who've been underperforming or you know, underachieving. But at the same time, it's still the fourth. Exactly. But at the same time, we're still talking about the fourth outfielder. Again, I'm not too concerned about it. I wish Tauchman the best of luck. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. But yeah, if Peralta can help out, that'll be a huge addition because the bullpen has been terrific so far. We've seen Green, Lewiska, Chapman, even Sessa get off to great starts. Michael King too in his few outings. So if Peralta can step in, help fill the void for O'Day and make things a little bit smoother, then, you know, sure, why not? Give him a chance. And it might end up helping to give some of these guys a breather because, you know, Lewisica's pitched 12 games, 16 and a third innings. Green's pitched 13 games, 16 and two thirds innings. Licky's even pitched 15 and two thirds innings, which is probably 15 and two thirds innings more than he expected to pitch in the majors in 2021.
I mean, but he has really like kind of turned it around the last few weeks compared to like how he started off the season. So good for him.
Yeah.
For him. It's Mr. Stay at Home Dad. I mean, but it must be nice to live at Yankee Stadium, I guess.
Of course.
And I will never let this go.
But hey, if he can help out the bullpen, then that'll be great. And I think that there is something to see from Wandy Peralta. So he's only pitched in the one game so far. So far too early to say that he is suddenly the new Andrew Miller. But hey, he looks good.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we're still a ways away from Zach Britton even coming back or whatever, but let's just see. If this move ends up backfiring and, like, Bondi Peralta ends up just not being good, again, who cares? It's fine. It was worth a shot.
Exactly, exactly.
But I do have a fun little, or maybe not fun for him, but I do have an exciting Michael King update for you.
Oh, bring it to me.
So as I think I've referenced every single week we've done this pod since the season started, how high Michael King has been on the Baseball Reference top 12 players in WAR, how he's constantly cracked the top five. He's officially out of the top five.
Oh.
Now this is, for me, it's a good thing because a person who 1 month into the season has only played in three games was in the top five, the top three at one point. That's not a great sign of just how the rest of the team is doing, but now he's number seven on the team in Baseball Reference WAR. So, you know, he's working his way back, and, you know, we see players like DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton, Urshela, Judge working their way up, even though King is still ahead of all of them, but hey, damn, it's progress.
I mean, I'll take it. Would you like to tell the audience who is currently number two and number three?
Oh, I would absolutely love to. Number two is the man who the former Silver Slugger Award is now been renamed for, Kyle Higgs Higashioka.
0.9 WAR.
With 0.9 WAR. And coming in at number three is Jonathan, quote, Johnny Lasagna Loaisiga with 0.8 WAR.
Incredible.
Right. This is still going to take some time to normalize, but we're starting to see a trend to make more sense. I mean, at least like you mentioned, like Loaisiga has pitched in a decent amount of games, and Higgy is apparently the greatest hitter on earth. He's Mike Piazza. But at least we're starting to see the familiar faces like DJ and Stanton and Judge creep their way back towards the top. The last week has obviously helped a lot with that. So hopefully by next week, we'll see this leaderboard kind of be a little bit more in line with what we expected. I'll be shocked if anybody besides Garrett Cole is number one, at least by next week. But hey, I challenge anyone to go ahead and do that. That does not mean I challenge Garrett Cole to have a bad week, though.
Yeah, here's the question. Will Garrett Cole get to 2 WAR before anyone else gets to 1 WAR? Because he's at 1.7 and only a few are over 0.7. So, you know, he might.
No, Higgy's going to do it, man.
That's true. Hey, another homework. There you go.
They don't call the award the Higgs for nothing.
Yeah.
And by they, I mean us.
On that note, we'll take an ad break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And do you have anything else to talk about the Yankees, or should we go into our fun new segment?
Are we not going to continue with the Kyle Higashioka fun hour?
I think we talked about Kyle Higashioka enough.
No, I think for the most part, we've covered most of it. I think we're ready to move on.
Okay, cool. Well, we are going to shamelessly steal from the Effectively Wild podcast, because they recently introduced a segment called Meet a Major Leaguer, where they just profile some random dude throughout the majors who is worth checking out just for his little backstory, so we can remember some guys before we even think of remembering them. So it's a nice idea, and I thought that it would be fun to incorporate that into the Yankees, focusing particularly on their minor league system, because if you follow the Yankees closely, there are a whole bunch of minor leaguers whose names will pop up here and there. Maybe you'll remember them, maybe you won't, but it's still fun to spotlight them, and there's some really cool names and stories in there that we're going to each spotlight one person a week, not for a super long segment, but just a hey, think about this guy. He's fun.
Yeah, and, you know, especially with the minor league starting up pretty soon, you know, the Tuesday, rosters were just announced. I think it's a good idea. And just kind of focus on some of the lesser known names, like Jason Dominguez. Have you heard of this guy?
No. Who?
So, funny enough, he is Mickey Mantle and Mike Trout. He's a science experiment, and it's 100% confirmed to be the greatest hitter on Earth.
Oh, good. Wow. Nice. Yep. But yeah, the Yankees minor league play will actually begin the same day that this recording comes out. So Somerset, Scranton, Tampa, Hudson Valley will all be ready to go. And it'll be great to see minor leagues back in action again. So I guess we'll start up. Who's your baby bomber?
All right. My baby bomber that I want to highlight this week is Oswald Peraza. Oswald Peraza was just added to the 40-man roster last November, and it might have come as a little bit of a shock to some people, because, you know, he's not somebody who's really well known or even necessarily well regarded, I feel like, as a prospect. Dan Kelly recently in the middle of March had a good season preview on Peraza that kind of just looked into why the Yankees might have added him to the 40-man, even if his like stats were underwhelming. But, you know, he kind of alluded a little bit to how his tools and the underlying metrics have started to improve, and He'll be starting the season with the Hudson Valley Renegades, and we kind of look forward to seeing what he has to show. He's a shortstop prospect, and Gleyber Torres can't handle the position and is bad defensively. Oswald Peraza will come up. And plus, he just has a fun name to say.
He does have a fun name to say. And he is one of the he's one of the top prospects in the system right now. He's number four by MLB Pipeline, behind only Dominguez, Clark Schmidt, and Nevy Garcia. So that's pretty good company to be in. And Spotlight will definitely be on him to see what he can build on from the off year in 2020 and see where he can take that next step.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because just reading a little bit about him or whatever, it didn't seem like, I don't know if like him being number four is kudos to him or just a statement about the Yankees system overall. But like I mentioned, he had a good rookie season in Staten Island when, you know, Staten Island was a thing.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace. I will miss the ferry rides. I mean, I guess I could still take the ferry rides, but why?
Yeah.
But anyway, it'll be fun to continue to just to watch his progress and see how he kind of shoots up the system, because, you know, the Yankees have been like promoting him aggressively. So I wonder if that continues. He obviously missed the 2020 season. Well, missed time with the Yankees, but it wasn't completely lost because he did play in Venezuela in November and early December. He had a few games there where he slashed like 250, 400, 313. So it was not bad.
He was very young for playing in the Winter League there too. He's only 20 years old. So he was still playing like above his peers, basically.
Yeah.
He's a guy with a good glove, and his bat's slowly improving. So we'll see what goes on in 2021. Hudson Valley. And yeah, if you live in the New York City area, you should go see Hudson Valley at some point. That'll be a fun new affiliate to check out for the Yankees. They were with the Rays for years, but now they've been a next. So
yeah, for sure. The one last final note I will say about Peraza that I think is just quite rude is that he was born in the year 2000 and he's 20. Like, he'll be 21 in June. That's just rude.
Zoinks. That's all I got to say.
I don't like him anymore. I take it away.
Yeah. Status revoked.
Yes. Who's your baby bomber?
Okay. So my baby bomber, here's how I decided to determine this. This is actually really funny. I took every single player that was listed on these four rosters and I put them into a spreadsheet. And then I decided, hey, let's just use a random number generator to pick one of these guys. And for the number of the row, that's who I'm going to choose. And I did it. And I got Oswald Peraza. So I decided to skip him since I knew that you said you were thinking of maybe doing something on him. But instead, I got Justin Wilson. Not that Justin Wilson, the other Justin Wilson. So that is who I'm spotlighting.
Wow, you don't want to spotlight Luke Voit, who's going to be starting his injury assignment?
No, I decided I couldn't really go with the up-and-coming first base prospect, Luke Voit, who will be starting off in Somerset. Yeah, Luke Voit will be on a rehab assignment in Somerset. So, hey, if you want to check him out, go check him out.
I might, actually.
But anyway, so Justin Wilson, the right-handed Justin Wilson, the Yankees drafted him at the end of the period between 2016 to 2018, which is what we all famously refer to as the Justin Wilson void, after the Yankees had traded the one Justin Wilson to the Tigers, and they had no Justin Wilsons in the system. It was a desolate time, and yet they finally ended this in 2018 when they drafted him in the 23rd round out of Vanderbilt. And something that was fun to find out about him, he actually started his collegiate career at Volunteer State Community College as a catcher. So he hit 302 in 18 games at this community college, and he only really began focusing on pitching in 2016. And he had elbow surgery in 2017, but he had transferred to Vanderbilt. So he had actually only appeared in 7 games for Vanderbilt, but the Yankees took him anyway in 2018, and good on them. In his last notable work, he was with Staten Island in 2019. Again, RIP. Notched a 1.46 ERA and a 1.014 whip. So this is the right-handed Justin Wilson. He will be in Hudson Valley for 2021. And when the Yankees had announced that they're signing the lefty Justin Wilson back in February, he quickly took to his Twitter account to be like, "Hi, I am not him. Please don't tweet at me."
Please don't tweet at me when Justin, the other Justin Wilson, does something bad. I am not him.
Yeah, good for him to realize that. And another thing I found out in his college bio, I don't know if this is still true because, you know, we all say dumb things in college that we probably don't look back kindly on, but it's part of his features at the Vanderbilt website. He said, names Brad Pitt as the actor who would play him in a movie. So he's very modest.
You know what? Good for you, Justin Wilson.
Exactly. Exactly.
I respect it. I want to look up what Justin Wilson looks like.
He doesn't
not
really look
like Brad Pitt, I'll tell you that. But I respect just, you know, you should be shot, kid.
I respect the moxie. Yeah, so maybe one day in the future, we will get a Justin Wilson relieves Justin Wilson appearance. It might only happen in spring training, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'd be fun. We always love those fun little tidbits and whenever like random things like that happen. But no, it'd be cool to see, you know, like you said, he's going to be in Hudson Valley. So maybe whoever's going to Hudson Valley will check him out. And then they'll hop over to Somerset to check out, what was it? Luke Voigt, I think his name was.
Yeah. This kid, he's kind of big.
He's a big boy.
But yeah. Justin Wilson. Yeah. The other Justin Wilson.
We'll keep an eye on both of them.
And Oswald Peraza, who will also be in Hudson Valley. So there you go.
Yay.
Okay. So that was fun. I didn't think I knew that nearly that much about Justin Wilson before I started looking at him.
I was impressed. I was like, oh, okay. Made me feel bad. I'm like, I'm in. I got to do a little bit more homework next week.
It was like, I just wrote a brief paragraph of random things I found. And also, I found out that apparently his dad once raced against Dale Earnhardt.
I did see on his like Twitter profile, he's very into racing or NASCAR. So makes sense.
Yeah, his brother Austin is trying to make it as a racer too. So I guess there's some incentive for that in the family.
A different kind of exit velocity, I think.
Hey.
All right. I don't even think that joke made sense, but I'm going to go with it.
Nope, not really. But we will move on from that to the Yankee and the Mitre of the week. Woo. All right, good. Who is your Yankee of the week?
So I had a few different people I was like debating between. I mean, I feel like I say this every week. I'll let you know who everyone that I was debating between were. Obviously, Giancarlo Tutanton came to mind. Gleyber Torres was kind of been turning it around. But the third person I was thinking about is actually who's going to be my Yankee of the week, and that is one Corey Kluber. We've talked a lot prior to this week about how they needed him to kind of step up and weary of the fact that they've been just relying on these arms that haven't pitched in so long. And we're just like, there's no backup plan if this fails. But the last two starts of his, he's pitched, 14 and two-thirds innings or one-third inning? I forgot how far he went in the first one. But he's looked like Corey Kluber of old. He looked like the Corey Kluber the Yankees were hoping to get, or maybe even a little bit more than what they were hoping to get. And it's just going to be very key. Obviously, the offense kind of coming back and clicking can help mask a lot of the pitching woes, which we've alluded to before as well. But you still need the pitching to be there. And if they have anywhere near a healthy, somewhat close to vintage Corey Kluber or Corey Kluber that looks like he was 4 years ago, then that's a great person to have slide in right behind Gerrit Cole in your rotation.
Yeah, big time. Now that was going to be my pick if you had picked the guy that I'm probably going to pick. So definitely justified. Corey Kluber has been terrific in his last two starts. And we can only hope that that continues as he faces tougher foes.
Please, please, Mr. Klubot, do your thing.
Beep, boop. Beep, boop. Boop, boop. Okay. So my Yankee of the week will be Giancarlo Stanton because he had that stretch of three-hit games in a row. In the past week, according to Fangraphs, he is batting .500, .519, .692. So that is doing some work. I nearly picked Aaron Judge because he's slugging .950 in the past week, which is its own accomplishment. But I decided to give it to Stanton because he had the three-hit games in a row. Had the hitting streak, and he's really been honestly carrying the offense since he's moved into the two hole. So good for him.
Yeah, and it's nice that, like, you know, we're not just like trying to struggle between who can I say that's not Gerrit Cole? Can I say that's not Gerrit Cole? And we actually have multiple options, and any one of them would have been a good, great, fine choice, however you want to describe it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I gave him my honorable mention last week. I probably should have, you know, given him my Yankee of the week this week, but I'm glad you did. He definitely earned it. And like I said, I think I said it in our season opening podcast where there's nobody I really enjoy watching hit baseballs more than Giancarlo Stanton, just because of how much he just demolishes them and it just takes revenge upon like generations of sins of whatever baseballs did to the Tutanton family. But I'm here for it.
Exactly. There are a few players in baseball who it's more enjoyable to see make contact with the baseball than Giancarlo, because he just rips it at ridiculous speeds. He still has some absurd exit velocity numbers on a whole bunch of his hits that would be easily the best of the season for almost every player in baseball. But for him, it's just like, top 10, maybe, you know.
I'm kind of getting there, I guess, doing my thing. Was it a few years ago when they had like the fastest pitch thing and you just had to like, they had the Aroldis Chapman factor or whatever it was?
Yeah, the filter.
Exclude him. They have to do that for exit velocity instead now.
Yeah, they probably do. All right, who's your Mitre of the week?
Oh, man, this was another tough one, but I'm going to go with one Aaron Hicks.
Yeah.
It's sad. He kind of got in on the fun in that Friday night game against Detroit, the 10-0 blowout. But besides that, he's been mostly quiet. I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going on there, but he's batting 120, has an on-base percentage of 207, slugging 280 in the last week. It's not good. I mean, he's not even really walking. In the last week, he's had two walks, the one home run, and he's got a double, and that's kind of pretty much it. He's just there. He looks lost. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully Hicksy can get it together.
Yeah, when Rougned Odor is walking at a higher rate than Aaron Hicks in the past week, then you know something is wrong with Aaron Hicks.
Right.
Yeah. He's a guy who, when he's in a rhythm, is taking his walks like few other players in baseball can. And when he's not even doing that, then you know something's going on with the batting eye. So fortunately, they're able to paper over his weaknesses right now in the past week because of how well like Judge, Stanton, Glaber, Gio Urshela have been hitting. But soon Aaron Hicks has got to figure it out. Otherwise, the Yankees would go in a little bit of trouble. It should also be worth pointing out, in that loss to the Orioles on Thursday, he had a couple very weak throws from center field. And I know that might be part of like the recovery from Tommy John surgery, but still.
Ugh. Yeah, and I was going to just bring that up too. Is obviously, like you mentioned, like the walks are a big part of his game, but at the very least, center field defense was one that we could always rely on. Especially, I remember those exciting throws when he first came over from Minnesota, where it's just like, whoa, how the hell did he get that? Holy shit, can you throw a ball that far that fast? But the noodle arm, so to speak, is a little bit concerning. It might be just recovering, or this might just be his arm now because of the Tommy John surgery. Who knows? But yeah, it's not great.
It is not what you want.
No. But alas, okay. Well, this is where we are. Who's your Mitre of the week?
My Mitre of the week is umpire Greg Gibson.
Oh, sure.
Because this is again shouting back to the Yankees' most recent loss in the game against the Orioles, where Gibson would not let Aaron Boone challenge a call in the eighth inning because he apparently took too much time, but it really did not seem like all that much time had expired and he was just being ticky-tacky about it.
That was just bullshit.
Yeah. And like, I understand, Aaron Boone should probably just challenge it immediately because you're in the eighth inning. You probably don't need to wait to hear from the replay guy about if I should challenge this because it's close enough in the game that you should just ask for the challenge, whatever. But regardless, Greg Gibson's is being way too prompt about like, hey, you got to get this in. And because all you want to do is just take another look. Won't take that long. It'll be fine. And as Boone even said after the game, like, we saw the replay. Looks like they probably made the right call, but you need to give him at least a chance to look at it.
Yeah, and it's not Aaron Boone wasn't being unreasonable and saying like, oh, he wasn't like, oh no, he 100% would have saved. He caused this thing, blah, 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 blah. No, they still would have ended up probably with the exact same result. But it's just like, dude, like, why are we talking about you?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the Yankees probably should have scored more runs off the Orioles for that to not even have mattered even that much.
Mm-hmm.
But still, guy, I don't want to talk about you. This is the Yankees podcast, not an umpire's podcast.
Yeah. Okay, actually, I misspoke. It was actually on Monday, not Thursday. But still, that game was also annoying.
Oh, well, now he's forgiven.
Yes, perfect. But yeah, Greg Gibson, Mitre of the Week. You got it.
Congratulations.
All right.
I'm sure you're listening.
Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right, cool. That'll do it for us on this week's edition of the Pinstripe Alley Podcast. Hopefully the Yankees will keep these winning ways going and keep these positive vibes, because it's a lot more fun to talk about the Yankees when they're winning than when they're stranding a million runners in scoring position.
Yeah. I enjoy talking about a fun baseball team and not a frustrating baseball team, so that's good.
Yes. Analysis. All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. You can follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. Where are you this week?
I am at Star Wars. So may the fourth be with you all, everyone, because that's when this is coming out. So just go ahead and at me there about all your Yankees woes and how much you disagree with my takes.
Yeah. Or if you want to just hashtag Twitterless Shaw out of nowhere, if you want to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi series, there you go.
Yeah. We do have the new Bad Batch that's starting tomorrow, so that should be fun.
Yeah. Exciting times. Please,
go ahead. At me at Star Wars.
Yes.
Please and thank you.
But do not at him about Palpatine. We do not need to talk about Palpatine.
No, please do not. Okay. Somehow they tweeted about Palpatine.
Oh, no. Oof. Well, on on that note, that'll do it for us this week. Take care. Go Yankees.
Woo!